Today, taking the lender's pulse. Hello again, I'm Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics. Welcome to our latest post covering finance and property news with a distinctively Australian flavour. Today, as the reporting season rages on, we look at the latest quarterly updates from ANZ and NAB, where we see some common themes and also some differences between the two Melbourne-based Big Four banks. In particular, we'll look at what they are saying about their mortgage portfolios. And by the way, if you value the content we produce, please do consider joining our Patreon program, where you can support our ability to continue to make great content. Here is the link, and it's also in the comments below. ANZ released their latest update today, and it shows the benefit of returning to its core retail business in Australia, and the release of capital resulting from this. Provisions were significantly lower, thanks to a shrinking institutional book, but the home lending sector past 90 days continues to rise to 0.63%, up 10 basis points from March 2016. And by the way, this is pretty consistent across the industry, despite ultra-low interest rates. In fact, their disclosure on home loans was quite revealing, with lower system growth, a focus on owner-occupied loans, and a reduction in mortgage power, how much you can borrow. This underscores the fact that credit tightening is not just a temporary thing. The higher BBSW rates suggest continued margin pressure is in the wind. Equity Tier 1 CET1 ratio was 11.07% at June 2018, which is up 3 basis points from March 18, largely driven by organic capital generation up 50 basis points and the receipt of reinsurance proceeds from the OnePath Life sale, which added 25 basis points. That was offset by the financial year 18 interim dividend, which knocked off 59 basis points, and the share buyback, which dropped another 8 basis points. But they also made the point that the 2018 interim DRP was neutralised. They also told us that around $1.5 billion of the announced $3 billion on-market share buyback had been completed as at the 30th of June 2018. Total risk-weighted assets decreased $2 billion to $394 billion, driven by a $2 billion reduction in CRWA from net risk improvement across both institutional and retail businesses in Australia and New Zealand. And the total provision charge was $121 million in the third quarter 2018, with individual provisions charged at $160 million. This charge in third quarter 18 was the lowest quarter since 2014, reflecting both ongoing benign environment and improved quality of the portfolio. While typically quarter one and quarter three provision charges are lower than Q2 and Q4, the third quarter 2018 was substantially lower than the average of the past 4 years, reflecting in part a high level of write-backs and recoveries in the institutional loan book. ANZ has retained an overlay initially taken on the 30th of September 2017 in relation to the retail trade book, which remains on watch. Australian residential mortgage 90-day plus past due loans as a percentage of the residential mortgage book was flat versus the prior quarter. But they said there are some pockets of stress in the mortgage book, primarily in Western Australia, more particularly in Perth itself. Throughout financial year 18, the Australian housing system has been characterised, they say, by slowing credit system growth, increased price competition, increased capital intensity, and tighter credit conditions. As at the end of June 2018, the system growth at ANZ was 4.1%, down 18% on the prior comparable period. ANZ's ongoing focus, they say, is on the owner-occupied principal interest segment, with owner-occupied loan growth of 4.4% annualised in the June quarter. Investor segment growth in the June quarter was down 2.5% annualised. ANZ's total Australian home lending portfolio grew at 0.4 times system in the June quarter, and that's 2% annualised growth. ANZ interest-only home loan flows in the June quarter represented just 13% of total home loan flows, 6.5 billion of interest-only loans switched to principal and interest in the June quarter, compared with 5.2 billion in the second quarter of 2018, and 5.7 billion in the first quarter 2018, and 5.6 billion per quarter on average across the financial year 17. They show the expected rate of interest-only loans peaking in the next year or so. The combined impact of prudential responses over the past three financial years, including various regulatory changes, together with subsequent policy changes by the banks, has led to a meaningful reduction in the average maximum borrowing capacity for home loan borrowers, they said. This suggests to us that there are higher risks in the back book compared with new business being written now, and confirms that the reduction in mortgage power available to borrowers is going to remain with us. And so to NAB, who also released their quarter three trading update and capital report today. They said that cash earnings declined by 1% and compared to the prior corresponding period were down 3%, reflecting higher investment spreads and credit impairment charges. Their unaudited statutory net profit was $1.65 billion and their CET1 ratio was 9.7%, which was down about 50 basis points from the first half 2018. The drop from 10.2% in March largely reflects the impact of the interim 2018 dividend declaration at 63 basis points and seasonally stronger loan growth in the June quarter. They expect to meet APRA's unquestionably strong target of 10.5% in an orderly manner by January 2020. Their leverage ratio on an APRA basis was 5.3%. The liquidity coverage ratio quarterly average was 132% and the net stable funding ratio was 113%. So all in reasonably positive territory. Whilst revenue was up 1% due to good growth in SME lending within business and private banking and a strong contribution from New Zealand banking, net interest margin declined slightly, reflecting, they say, elevated short-term wholesale funding costs and ongoing intense home loan competition. And in addition, expenses rose 2% due to higher compliance costs, investor spend consistent with the accelerated strategy, and increased depreciation and amortization. Credit impairment charges rose 9% to $203 million and included $25 million of additional collective provisions for forward-looking adjustments, bringing the total balance of the FLAs to $547 million. They said that asset quality remains sound, with the ratio of 90-day past due and gross impaired assets to gross loans and acceptances steady at 0.71%. However, 90-day past due residential mortgage loans stood at $2,015 million at the 30th of June 2018, compared with $1,956 million in March 18. So delinquencies are rising. Impaired facilities also rose a little. $20 million worth of mortgages were written off in the quarter, compared with $10 million in the prior quarter. They also warned of further provisions for unresolved compliance issues in the next quarter. Now, there was no guidance on what that quantum will be, but we can guess that it may relate to such as the Royal Commission. They reported that their priority segment net promoter score declined from minus 9 in March to minus 14 in June, partly reflecting an overall industry decline, with NAB's priority segments NPS now second of the major banks. So standing back, we can see a recurring theme: tighter mortgage lending standards, rising 90-day delinquency rates, and higher funding costs. All of which reinforces our conclusions from yesterday that the property market will continue to slide for some time to come as the mortgage lending tide recedes, and we see the barnacles under the waterline. Or, to return to our headline, the banking pulse feels rather erratic at the moment, which may be signs of trouble ahead. Finally, a reminder Mark your diary, the next DFA live stream event will be on Tuesday, the 21st of August at 8 p.m. Sydney. I'll be providing some more information shortly about the event, but it is already scheduled on the channel if you want to set a reminder. And feel free to send questions in beforehand. If you value the content that we produce, please do consider joining our Patreon program where you can support our ability to continue to make great content. The link is in the comments below. If you like what you've heard here today, please share and like the post and add a comment or question. And if you want to join the growing band of subscribers who receive alerts when we release new posts, do subscribe now. I'm Martin North, the Principal Analyst at Digital Finance Analytics. Many thanks for listening, and I'll talk to you again next time.